It is time for the local newscast from the award-winning KDNK News Team for Thursday morning, March 9th. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. Eagle County Commissioner Jill Ryan talks with KDNK Station Manager Gavin Dahl about the county's new climate action plan.
Commissioner Ryan lives in Edwards with her husband and son. She's originally from the Front Range, served as Director of Public Health for the county for 5 years before running for office and winning back in 2012. Now in her second term, Jill is becoming a regular guest on KDNK and is an outspoken advocate for action on climate. Your fellow commissioners announced in January you're adopting a climate action plan for Eagle County, calling for an 80% reduction in heat-trapping carbon emissions by 2050. Avon and Vail have now adopted the plan as well. Can you start by giving us the background on how this came about?
Sure. So my fellow county commissioners and I have climate action as a priority in our strategic plan. And we have for the last 4 years. We want to run as far and as fast as we can with this issue. And since we've come on board, we have staff that are dedicated to this issue. And they worked with Waukee Mountain Science Center to get 30 organizations in the county together and come up with this climate action plan. And so now we're asking organizations and towns and other municipalities to adopt the plan.
CLEAR did an emissions inventory. What did that consist of?
That's right. I mean, basically what that looks at is how much CO2 or other types of greenhouse gases we are emitting as a community into the atmosphere. And because we can measure that, then we can set targets to reduce that.
And so you mentioned 30 community organizations, also that Avon and Vail have adopted the plan. How's it going with other towns and special districts in Eagle County?
So far, we've actually had several towns and organizations adopt the plan, and I know Town of Basalt is considering adoption of the plan. I'm certain that they will. And what we are telling organizations is that our staff will provide technical assistance to help them reduce their greenhouse gases. And there's really a lot that, for example, local governments can do just in creating energy-efficient buildings or adding solar to their energy profile for their electricity use, and it reduces the taxpayer dollars then that they need to spend on energy. So it's a win-win.
Other focus in addition to improved energy efficiency and installing more solar and wind power, for example, you're talking about more public transit, making communities more walkable and bikeable. Isn't that going to be kind of a challenge given your topography?
It is, but there are things that we can do and a lot of low-hanging fruit. And the truth is we feel like there is a shift in society and people want to do their part. They want to reduce their own carbon footprint. And so there's incentive programs for riding the bus. We as commissioners, when we look at land use files, we really value that they are in sort of the core of a community along a bus line or in areas where people can walk and bike. And we know up here that people value being able to use alternative forms of transportation. And so really not as hard as you might think.
What does all this have to do with pond hockey?
So we recently wrote an op-ed and talked about how, you know, it's been so warm this winter. And I mean, it's even rained. I mean, first of all, it took forever to snow in December, right? And then it's rained on us a few days in January and February. Well, in December, the thin ice at Avon's Nottingham Lake pushed the annual Rocky Mountain Pond Hockey Tournament to Eagle. And in Eagle, we have temporary rinks that are built on the ice, and the locals skate there during the winter, and it only lasts a couple of months. Mm-hmm. But the Rocky Mountain Pond Hockey Tournament had to move to Eagle because the ice was too thin at Avon's Nottingham Lake. And so we just use that to talk about, you know, as our winters are warming, we know, according to a 2015 study by the Aspen Global Change Institute and Aspen Center for Environmental Studies, there's now 23 fewer days of freezing temperatures in this region than there were in the 1970s. So at the end of the op-ed, we said, you know, in the future, pond hockey might be one of those things that only old timers talk about.
Man.
But it's not really a laughing matter, is it?
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like we can joke about that's a good point, but it's scary. It's really real. I mean, we just talked a few weeks ago to Bob Berwin, a freelance environmental journalist who covers wildlife conservation and climate. He's based in Europe right now, but has a background in your area. He's doing a grant-funded project on climate change in the Alps, and he says snow season shortened, snow depths are down. I mean, this is a global problem. And he also wrote, dear skiers, it's time to turn words into action. So that's one of the other things I wanted to ask you is, as we think about our listening area and this general region, how do you feel like the skiing industry has responded to the challenge of climate? We know that Aspen Ski Co. has Auden Schendler as sort of an evangelist for mm-hmm. climate. He's, of course, on the Basalt Town Council.
Right. You know, and I will say Aspen Ski Company has been such an amazing leader in this area. But Vail Resorts did join us on this climate action plan. And so, you know, we know that they're there and we know that people associated with the snow industry are champions and good spokespeople to talk about, you know, what this means to us. This is our economic engine. But, you know, the truth is, if it gets to a point where we can't ski, of course, we have larger problems. We are the headwaters for 18 other states. And so we need our snowpack, our precipitation to come down as snow and stay around as long as possible, so the water can be parsed out over the whole year. It doesn't do us any good if it comes down in rain and we have early runoff.
We mentioned that you have a background in public health. What about the public health argument for trying to fight climate change?
Right. There are so many public health issues that come with a warming planet, from increasing communicable diseases, emerging infections like, say, Zika virus, mm-hmm. West Nile virus didn't used to be in the United States. Tick-borne diseases are moving further up north as far as Maine, just because, again, it's warmer. You'll see an increase in allergens, an increase in heat-associated deaths, and it's hard for us to imagine that living where we live, but that's a very real possibility in areas that are starting to see more and more 100-plus degree days.
Jill Ryan, Eagle County Commissioner, as we wrap up here, local experts are starting to work on this now in 2017. What are some of the next steps for Eagle's Climate Action Plan?
Like I said, we're asking different organizations to adopt the plan, and then we will be providing technical assistance to help organizations determine how to bring down their greenhouse gas emissions. But there's things that the average residents could do. So, for example, if you wanted to eliminate 1 ton of CO2 in 2017, you could switch out 25 of your incandescent or halogen lights with LED. You could reduce your passenger car use by 2,400 miles per year. And you know, CDOT now has this new Bustang route that goes from Denver to Glenwood Springs. So if you catch that a few times to get to Denver, you've solved that. You can replace your old fridge or other large appliances with Energy Star models. You know, installing 1 kilowatt of solar electricity on your rooftop, that's only 4 panels.
My wife and I, when we moved to the Valley, we decided to talk to Xcel about their wind program. Mm-hmm. And we pay a little bit more. It's really not that much more. It's definitely affordable for us in our budget. And our entire rental condo is wind powered.
Really?
Because we do that through Xcel. We just got a letter that the rates actually went down slightly, mm-hmm. which is so rare, right?
Yes.
And if we're going to use the dryer and use the dishwasher and do all the things we do, at least if we are willing to put a couple extra bucks a mm-hmm. month toward wind, then we can be part of that too, you know?
Or even purchasing into a community solar array where it's not actually attached to your house, but you get the credits. I mean, Eagle County did that. We bought 2 solar farms and we saved $290,000 annually. And then it's like the equivalent of taking 377 cars off the road or 263 homes off the grid. I mean, that's big. I'm very passionate about the climate action. And we need champions in that area, right? It just benefits all of us.
Jill Ryan, Eagle County Commissioner. Hope to have you back on KD&K more frequently. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Gavin.
Battlement Mesa residents at the Garfield County Planning Commission meeting in Glenwood Springs last night were visibly disappointed at the outcome. With a vote of 5-2, the commission recommended approval with conditions of a zoning change to the Battlement Mesa PUD to include 1 wastewater injection well on 1 state-approved well pad within the boundaries of the community. Last month, Eric Schmela, president of Battlement Mesa Corporation, and representatives of Ursa Resources asked the commission for a continuance of the zoning change request. At issue was an injection well originally planned for the B pad and what residents said was too close to the community's drinking water intake from the Colorado River. Ursa revised the request by getting rid of B pad and moving the injection well to another pad downstream and farther away from the water intake. At last night's meeting, Ursa also reduced the size of that pad called A pad from 37 to 22 acres. The well pad has yet to be approved by the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which prompted Commissioner Matt Langhorst to question the need for a zoning change at this time. Commissioners Greg McInnes and Michael Sullivan cast the 2 dissenting votes. votes. McInnes claimed that the recommendation to approve was premature. Sullivan compared it to spot zoning and said approval was not in the best interests of Garfield County citizens. URSA representatives and Eric Schmela said the main reason for the injection well was to reduce the amount of trucks that would be needed to haul produced water away from the site. The zoning request now goes to the Garfield County Commissioners. More people can access mental health care in Colorado since the Affordable Care Act went into effect, but advocates say repealing the health care law could affect the stability of individuals, families, and communities. Eric Kalanis reports.
One sector of the population stands to be significantly affected if the GOP succeeds in repealing the Affordable Care Act. Mo Keller with Mental Health Colorado says congressional plans to roll back the measure's Medicaid expansion could impact nearly 450,000 Coloradans who finally were able to access mental health care under the law. Keller says reducing access for folks who need services would have a community-wide impact.
On the more serious and persistent illness side, the increase in homelessness, increase in police contact time, increase in the jails, increase in the court costs, increase in the emergency room use, and it's a revolving door.
Keller says when people who need help can't get it, their mental and physical conditions can deteriorate rapidly. And she says lack of coverage ultimately drives up the cost of insurance premiums for everyone as hospitals charge more to help cover their losses in uncompensated care. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, some 20 million people nationally have gained coverage since the ACA became law. Keller says congressional plans to strip an ACA mandate for carriers to provide substance use and mental health coverage would turn back the clock to the days when virtually no insurance companies offered coverage. She adds, if state and federal governments don't support regular mental health care for those who need it, it will ultimately cost more down the line.
So if we don't have these preventive services to prevent the crisis and the mental illness from getting worse, where it is very costly to society but devastating to the individual, we're not going to resolve this problem of how to intervene early.
Despite progress made in the availability of care, Keller adds many people still live in areas with a shortage of mental health care, particularly in rural and economically disadvantaged communities. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.